Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us this day as you give us your grace, your love, and mercy, which we ask you for. Please encourage the lost of this world to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, especially those who we love, and also for our enemies who, if they are in Jesus, they are no longer our enemies. We pray for Christian love and principles to dominate this nation of ours. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have so much to be thankful for. In a few short days, we will have our Thanksgiving national holiday. The word holiday comes from the word holy day. Thanksgiving may be a holy day to you because on that day we give thanks to our holy God. Maybe every day is a holy day because we give thanks to God and we give him thanks for saving our soul and we thank God for the abundant life we have in America. We truly do have such an abundant and rich life here in America. A few people are appreciative, and a whole lot more people think mostly about what they want. And sacrifice is an unpleasant word to many people. And as we can hardly think of going without the wonderful things we have, it's kind of understandable. And we so often cannot even consider living like the rest of the people in the world, how they live. And if we did not have a cell phone, how would we live? If we had to sleep in a room with other people, how would we do that? The housing that we can afford is certainly different from that in the rest of the world. In the old days, they really did used to sleep, like four or more to a room because, well, partly because of the cost and partly because people needed the heat in the room to be warm in the night. Hard to imagine such conditions, isn't it? Yes, and yet, well, I guess that's what our great-grandparents did. Oh, we have a lot to be thankful for with all the abundance and richness of life that we enjoy. Not everybody in the world lives as richly as we do. I know 30 years ago I was in Peru and I was on a walk. It was in a small village and a teeny tiny store was there and I bought two ice cream bars. The old man behind the counter was quite surprised because there I was, and I was only one person. And you could see that he was surprised and wondering if I was going to eat both of those ice cream bars. Yep, and at that time, to buy two ice cream bars was a kind of a luxury in a small Peruvian town. That's not something that people could do very easily. So it was an example of how rich our nation is, that we could eat two ice cream bars and think nothing of it. Well, compared to the rest of the world, yes, it's pretty interesting. Too often our attitude is filled with expectations and wanting more and more. That's just kind of typical American behavior. Well, not just American, it's typical human human behavior. We just think of desiring more and more. We want more money. And if we don't have money, what do? We borrow it from any source we can. We can redo our mortgage. We can borrow on credit cards. We just try to get more money so we can spend and spend. Now, all of this borrowing and all of these loans have made our nation quite unstable. And that's a part of, if there is a downturn, or should I say when there is a downturn, then all these borrowings that we have done will be even harder to repay. And that's just an economic rule. So not so many Americans have saved up. In fact, not so many people in the world have saved up. We need to think about having a storehouse to fall back on if there really are any downturns, if there really are any but just problems in life. And we think it might be too late for us to save, but it is never too late. We always want to have that in mind as a goal, to put things aside for the just in case. And I know I wish I had saved more in my life. It's just what happens. And I can testify that Social Security, for us ordinary people, is not enough to live on. Oh, and so the savings would have come in handy. Oh, yes, I understand. And we get even more understanding when we have to live through it. And so I urge you, save. Pay off your debts. It's kind of a difficult thing because in life we have so many different life choices. And all of those choices come with consequences. So in the beginning we don't think about that so much when we're young. We think about just getting a job. But if we could pick a job after a few years, we would probably pick a more secure job. Nowadays, it's thought to be government service that is secure. And it is. So do you want to be a politician or a police officer? Or teachers aren't within the government, but they are quite secure in their retirement. So most people don't want those jobs. They don't want to put in the extra time and effort that it takes. So we choose a different path. And what happens is we get the consequences of our choices. Oh, yes, we do. Consequences. So, well, things are always changing. They always do. But the more time you look over, the more changes there are. So years ago, the world was different. And how many years ago is all a question of how far you want to look back. But I remember when gas was 20 cents a gallon. And it was a little more, a little less, depends on where you were. But 50 years ago, not so many people saw where the world was headed. And sure, there were a few. There are always a few who think about what could happen next. But most of us didn't think about that. And if we did, we thought, oh, it won't happen to me. Yeah, I was one of those too. And I thought my income was just fine for everything. But things change a little bit, especially with inflationary prices. Everything gets more expensive. So What changes? We don't look back far enough in history to realize that there are economic downturns and really some pretty big problems. Sometimes there's natural disasters, and sometimes there's political problems, and things really can take a turn for the worst. Now, so many smart people think that, oh, those even smarter people in the political system and the government, they won't let the system fail. But that's not what I think. I think what they want to do is have a piece of the pie, whichever that piece is. They want the biggest piece, whether our dollars are worth 2 cents or our dollars are worth $10. It's just a matter of, well, for them, it's winning, and they don't care what they have to do to win. That's how some people are, really, really, really. So our world does have breakdowns, and lots of people think that we will have another big one, or that it might be medium. Some even say it'll be small, but a lot of people are expecting some sort of a problem. And then we wonder, how are we going to live? When will it happen? Oh, yes, that's a big question. What is the timing of the breakdown? Well, that's a really hard one to determine, but we can see the direction, and we can see that things are headed towards a not-so-good direction for lots of reasons, even though they are pretty good today. It's just you need to look and try to figure things out for yourself, and indeed, don't worry about it. But do think about it. It's good not to worry, and it's also good to think about just what might be coming our way. In past months, I have named a dozen or so big money fund managers, and they talk about something big and serious coming along to our nation very soon. And so I quoted just a few sentences from them, and they think we could see a pretty serious downturn. Well, it's getting to be any time now, but or pretty soon. At that time, I did not include Ray Dalio, who's the largest hedge fund manager that there is, because he did not express any concern about our economy at that time. But last month, he did express concern, and he was saying that we are looking at echoes of the 1930s coming our way, and that a coming depression would be much worse and much more dangerous because the U.S. population is not self-sufficient like it used to be, and that the U.S. population is maxed out with a debt load. And he said, the system is broken. So what do we do? Well, he said buy gold, but I think is the stability is what our real goal is. There's another well-regarded economic person, Gerald Celente, and he warns of financial distress turning into social distress, and that we could very well see some violent times ahead. Michael Pinto says, this is a magnificent bubble we are in, and when it implodes, the whole world will be in a bad way. See, there's people who see the troubles, and it's hard for us to because we are all tied up in what our day-to-day situations are. But these people look long-term, and they see that we are on the edge of a pretty big, huge economic problem. Their idea is that the central banks of the world have shown that all they can do is to print money. Lots and lots of currency they print. And they want to keep that bubble going so that there's not a collapse or just a downturn. But it's pretty hard to avoid it when the dynamics are as they are. Another one is Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway. He says that things are going to change too. And what he's doing is he's putting aside cash. Well, with his corporation, they have $128 billion set aside in cash. And the idea that is talked about is to acquire distressed corporations when the economy turns downward. And he did that just before the 2008 recession. And when that 2008 recession hit, he bought up lots of distressed corporations. So, do people know that a recession is coming? Well, apparently some people are pretty sure of it. And we don't know quite when. But we can see pretty clearly that things are going in that direction. Does that mean a Great Depression? Oh, I don't know about that, but it's something to consider. Speaking about that Great Depression, in October of 1929, President Hoover asked J.P. Morgan, he was a man who was alive at that time, and asked him if he should be concerned about the markets. J.P. Morgan replied, there was no need for concern. And here it is. It's 5 days later. The stock market crashed, and America began its Great Depression. So I don't know if history will ever reveal if J.P. Morgan knew the crash was coming or not. I've wondered about it, but I don't know of any evidence to show that he did or didn't. But it's interesting what happens in the world we live in. So I think back to that time, my father was alive at that time. He was an active man, and he was saying that some people were concerned that the stock market was unstable, but only a few people were. They weren't really concerned with a crash, and I think that's kind of like today. A few people are aware that there could be a problem, but not really very many people are concerned that the system will crash or move into a depression. But there are people who say that. There definitely are. So, yes, patterns repeat, and we can be aware of them and think about it. And I know that I've quoted, like I said, the people before who said economic trouble is coming. And really, the experts can be wrong. They have been wrong in the past, and they could be wrong again. Could we just have an economy that keeps going strong? Yeah, maybe. But these economic people have their ears to the ground, so to speak, and they see trouble is coming. So it only makes some sense to me to consider what would happen if trouble did come along, and what action would you take? What might you want to do if there was some kind of a crash or a depression coming along? Yes, there's many people who don't even want to consider it. They don't want to even think that anything could come along and be a problem. Well, we are all different. Some people want to know that there could be trouble coming, and some people just plain don't. They don't want to hear about the problems or anything. Which one are you? I don't know. But we have different kinds of people all around, and some people want to know. I mean, look, we want to know when PG&E is shutting off the power. people want to know if there's a tornado or a hurricane coming. So you can use a little sense and just consider what would happen if, and give that some thought that there might be an emergency coming. And so, I mean, we keep spare tires in our car in case we get a flat tire. We have a few dollars in our wallet in case we need a few dollars. So it's not so different that we do want to have some something to fall back on in case there's a problem. So I think just give that some thought. There's people who think it, and we could just give it consideration. Oh, people think all sorts of things, and give it consideration too. The experts, they say there's earthquakes coming. Oh, and of course the Bible does too. That should be a bigger indicator. But the experts say that there's several earthquake faults that are ready to go. I think about that Cascadia, a subduction zone. And so what would happen if that hit us? What would happen if it happened in a week or a year or a decade? I mean, we just don't know. But doesn't it make some sense to take preparedness steps? Yes, kind of like as soon as possible would be good as far as I can see. Do it soon, because then you have a certain level of comfort in your preparedness. And besides that, it takes a while to get your preparedness thoughts and supplies together. It doesn't just happen immediately. Even if you get the lists from people, they don't think what you're thinking, and so you want a list that suits you. So take some steps now and get what is important while there are things available. If there's ever a rush, it will be harder and harder to get what you want. So I don't know when anything's coming. I just keep seeing the possibilities, and I urge people to be ready for the just in case. We don't want to have problems or suffering for ourselves, our family, or our friends, or just the people around us. Nobody wants to have suffering people around us. So give it some of that thought and see what you can do to take preparedness steps. You know, there's another thing that could trigger a crisis, and that's Deutsche Bank. They have had things going on for years, and it just shows further and further decline, further and further crisis within that bank, and they're just getting weaker and weaker. And Deutsche Bank has a global network of both loans and bank connections and can't quite remember the name of it, but it's when each bank has a risk of a certain investment, and so they share the exposure, and Deutsche Bank shares exposures with other banks, and so if one thing happens to affect one bank, they are all involved in the downturn. And that's something we just have to be aware of that could happen to any of the banks in the banking system, and Deutsche Bank too. So there are concerns with also our New York Federal Reserve Branch, and they have been, they call it injecting billions of dollars into their bank overnight funds, and that is effectively the same as creating money, which is inflationary. And they said that they would do this from September 23rd to January 31st of 2020. So if that if the Federal Reserve is doing that, it shows that they see a problem that they are trying to overcome by injecting hundreds of billions of dollars by this program. That's also, in effect, creating dollars, and that is inflationary. So we can only guess the effect. Inflation? Yeah, how could it not come about? It's just that things are happening. And we, each one of us, see these things going on, and we try to make sense of it on our own. We try to understand it and take steps to prevent the problems that could occur. So I say it's always a good idea to pay off your debts, pay down your loans, and have savings. And the other thing for preparedness, just like you would for a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, an economic disaster, we know that things can be, a disaster can spread and go from one area to the other. So both area of life and area geographically. So it's always good to have those basic needs that we have, water, food, and warmth. So get a water filter. Have a supply of food, and I always talk about grain, sugar, and oil, and have warmth. That means warm clothes, at least, maybe a fireplace, I don't know. But just give it some thought, and have more than what you want, because you can always share. People will want to be helping people. And there are plenty of lists of things that you can get for preparedness. The government agencies, they seem to have lists. Clinics have lists. Corporations have lists. And you will want to make your own list and prioritize it. And then you begin the process. You start. We all start someplace. And that list is really helpful, so that you don't get things twice, you know, too many of one thing. And also, a list is good because it helps you to prioritize and get those things that are the most important first. And it also is a part of being concerned for your neighbors. I mean helping your neighbors. And that's the kind of concern I'm talking about. Some people have a different concern with their neighbors, and that is they're concerned that there could be violence and stealing what you have by your neighbors. So, yeah, in some cases that's legitimate, but I hope that you do realize how very, very many good and decent people there are in the world. And of course there are the bad. And those bad people can be very, very bad. But most of the time, people are good and decent people. And sometimes you will have to be concerned about security in your little community. And so you want to know your neighbors. You want to be helpful to your neighbors, both in case there is a crisis or if there's not. You just want to have helpful neighbors, and you want to help neighbors. So let's see. You might need to have a neighborhood watch, and if there gets to be trouble and you need that neighborhood watch, then get it going right soon after the event, because you don't want anything bad. You don't want anything evil to come along and be a problem for you. And if there is no electricity, well, life would be very, very different. There's several reasons for that. I've talked about it in the past, but without electricity, there would be no cash flow, because people would not be able to access cash, no groceries or currency from the banks or ATMs, and credit cards would not function, because you need electricity for all of that. So There could be problems on many levels, but remember there are lots and lots of good and decent people. And here is a note I saw from 5 years ago. There was a law enforcement guy who said that 75% of all U.S. counties had zero murders in them. Zero in 75% of all U.S. counties. And he said those counties also were most Americans owned guns. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He also said that 70% of the murders occurred in 3% of the U.S. counties. Wow. So to me, that shows how good and decent so many people are. And yes, there's some bad people in the world, too. We all know that. And we don't know what the future holds in the future. There could be a lot of good and kind and loving people, and there could be a few violent people. So there's things you want to have on hand. Maybe one of them is a first aid kit. Because without electricity, we would have to look after ourselves in a much different way. We'd have to look after our loved ones, and we would at least want to have the basic medical supplies. That means cloth medical tape, a lot of it, gauze pads, a lot, and triple antibiotic ointment, definitely a lot of that, because, well, in my life, I've used a lot of tape to tape up a wound or a cut or something. And any kind of tape will actually do. Medical tape is by far the best. But I've used masking tape and electrical tape and any kind of cloth that was handy. So, but I will say the triple antibiotic ointment is really, really good to have. It reduces the chances of infection greatly, greatly, greatly. So get lots of triple antibiotic ointment. Very good. I also like to have a little burn ointment and a little antihistamine and also some kind of an aspirin type of pain reliever. I like all those things. And if you're looking at the medical lists, they can be quite long. And I have one too that's kind of long. But the whole idea is that you get something. Get some of the most basic medical supplies, and that's just what you need to do. The most basic ones, those will cover so many of your needs, and, well, just get them and have them. There's lots more you can get, but those are the very basic ones. Because we are going to have, at some point, some pretty hard times. We just don't know when. After all, Christians are promised persecution. And we have had it too. Just think back in history. There was the ancient Roman times, when Christians were fed to the lions for entertainment. And the Jews were killed too. The Jews were killed especially when they would not profess that Caesar was God. So that was in ancient Rome. In the Middle Ages, so many things happened there too. That's just the way it was in many parts of the world. There have been Christians killed all the time. You can look at, again, back to the Middle Ages. There was Fox's Book of Martyrs. That was written in 1554, long time ago. Yeah, martyrs have been happening for millennia. And today, in many parts of the world, it is still very acceptable to kill Christians, especially if someone from a different religion converts to Christianity. Yeah, and there's so many people who find Christianity such a beautiful religion, and it is, and so they turn to it. but then their life is in danger. I think of John 15:20, where it says, if they persecute you, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. That's what it is. That's Jesus saying, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says something like that too. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, is it going to happen to us? It's pretty likely. Oh, yes, it's likely. So, we can be prepared for a little bit here and there, and in a way, we never really know what to be prepared for, but it's always good to have some measure of preparedness. Even though people are basically good people all over the place, the world still has just plenty of sin and death and hatred and war. So we must be prepared for what just might come our way in the future. Along that line, I think of those protesters in Hong Kong. They don't want to be taken to mainland China. And that's pretty typically what happens. Somebody is arrested and they are taken to mainland China and not to have a hearing in the court where they live, but they have to go to mainland China. And the Hong Kong residents are pretty aware of the internment camps in mainland China. And those internment camps, we don't hardly hear anything about, but there are at least 3 million people held in those camps. And there are other numbers too. Some people say it's 7, some people say it's 10. I mean news outlets. They have different reports. But we don't know for sure because China is a closed communist nation and they don't make anything public like that. But there are Chinese internment camps, that's for sure. And a lot of them, there are Christians and Falun Gong and Uyghur Muslims. That's just the way China is. So if you use that lower number of 3 million internees in those internment camps, well, that's a whole lot of people. So yes, it's a reality. Last week, the New York Times had an article, and they're the ones who said that 3 million number. But there, like I said, there's other news sources that have other numbers for 6, 7, 8, 10 million internees in those internment camps in China. So we don't know the information, like I said. China is a closed nation. They don't make anything public, anything negative public. That New York Times, they referenced a 403-page internal Chinese report, and it was supposed to have been kept secret, but somehow the New York Times got a hold of it, and it talked about that being why the Hong Kong protesters were so very concerned that they would not be sent to mainland China. Because there's a really good chance if they're sent to mainland China that they will never be heard from again. That's what sources say in Asia. So another thing that is going on, A whole lot of people have testified to this, but how do you prove it? It's different. There's people on every level that have testified to this happening, to the UN and to newspapers and to other sources, that there are involuntary organ harvesting operations at those internment camps. It's amazing how can that go on in this day. But they supply Those operations supply Chinese hospitals and hospitals around the world with organs that have been harvested involuntarily. Now, the Chinese government says it's all right to do this because the people who are they are getting the organs from are criminals, and they are facing a death sentence, so their bodies may be used for the benefit of the state of China. That has been the argument. Oh boy. Well, I have read so much history that it sounds to me like a communist philosophy going on here. It's something that has been going on in so many nations of the world in the last 100 years. That's just an attitude that seems to go along with communism. Let's see. I'm thinking of Winston Churchill here. He said something like, the problem with capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessing, and the problem of a socialist communist government was the equal sharing of misery. Well, Winston Churchill was kind of a witty guy, and he came up with that. I know that every system has problems. Here in America, we have the capitalist system. It's not perfect. Socialist is not perfect. Communist is not perfect. But we like the freedom that the United States has. It is going along with our republic. Remember that the United States is a republic. It is not a democracy. So with our republic, we have certain rights that cannot be voted away. Oh, in a democracy, everything can be voted away. That's kind of the difference between democracy and republic. Well, it's been going on for decades now that we have been voting in politicians that want to give the people benefits. And so the people get more benefits, and the nation goes further and further into debt. And this debt is getting so great that I'm afraid at one point we're going to have to declare bankruptcy. I mean, what has happened in other countries? In other countries, when the government runs out of money, big corporations come in and they take over services and utilities and they charge whatever they want. That's what's happened in other countries. And it could happen here too. Now, God only knows the future, but I think it's just reasonable for us to look and see what's going on. If there were something to happen like that, there would be a whole lot of unhappy people. And unhappy people seem to blame everyone else on their problems. They blame citizens, they blame the government, and they just get really unhappy when they are not getting their government-provided goods and services. So, yeah, they get mad and angry, and in a way I don't blame them, but people get violent too, and that I blame them for. But we do have a financial situation coming up. I mean, it has to be coming up with our unsustainable level of debt. We just can't keep going like this. Things can happen to our nation. That would be an emergency, just like an earthquake would be an emergency. And I've been thinking about earthquakes lately. I don't know why, but I've looked at the 2015 Himalayan earthquake. That was a 7.8, and it killed 9,000 people there, and it destroyed 600,000 homes. 2011, there was the 9.0 Fukushima earthquake and tsunami, and that one killed 22,000 people or more. 2004, there was the 9.1 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami, and that one killed 150,000 people. Wow. So I see there's earthquakes going on. The plates, continental plates, are shifting. And I think about our Cascadia subduction zone. And for that one, the authorities, they say that we can expect a 9.3 or greater earthquake sometime in the future. 9.3. Oh, well, when you compare the earthquakes that we've had lately in California, lately going back 50 years, we've had 7.0s, a couple of them, and it did a whole lot of damage. But a 7.0 versus a 9.3 is a huge difference. A 9.3 has 1,000 times more force, and it will last not 15 or 20 seconds like a 7.0, but it would last 5 minutes. A 9.3 would last 5 minutes, and the aftershocks could easily go on for months. Oh, that's a big, big thing. So I think about preparedness. I certainly do. Because I'm concerned for the many, many people around. I'm concerned that there's so many people who have no preparedness supplies, no preparedness food. So what will happen to them? Suffering and difficulty. So remember to look, well, first to the spiritual part, which is have joy in the Lord, and any difficulty, we still have to hold on to our joy in the Lord. That's right. And in history, there have been plenty of people who have had bad circumstances. Look at Paul in the Bible. He sang while he was in jail. So, you can still have joy and have hard circumstances. But there are things we can do to be equipped with the problems that just might come along. So, yes, have faith and have supplies. There's lots of choices that we can have, and we want to make sure of our eternal life and make sure that we have eternal life with Jesus Christ. In a way, there's nothing more important than that. Oh, no, forget the in a way. There is nothing, nothing more important than our eternal life with Jesus Christ. So we do have situations here on earth, and we are in a battle. And what is at stake is our eternal destiny and the souls of people around us. That's the battle for their eternal destiny. Will they be in heaven or in hell? It's a battle. It's a battle. I think of David and Goliath. In a way, that's a metaphor for our spiritual battle. Well, when you think about David and Goliath, I want you to remember that those two did not intend to fight. Those two intended to snuff the life right out of the other. Just kill that other person. That's what they wanted to do, to kill the other person. So reflect on that a little bit, because that's our battle with life and to kill evil. And we want to stay so strong in the Lord and do loving things. How many times do we have to make the choice in life of whom we will serve? Will it be the God of this earth and the situations in front of us? Or will it be the God of the Bible? Of course, it's the God of the Bible, and that's what we want. We want to remember to, in every way, to be holy, and that's what's required of us. And it is said that Yahweh does save. Yahweh is his name, and he will deliver us from the battle. David ran to cut off the head of the giant, and we have to have that same determination to cut off that which opposes God and to live holy, holy and righteous. And of course, that means don't live in fear, but go forward in faith. God will deliver. God, Yahweh. Oh, let's see. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And we know his name. His name is Yahweh. His position is God, God the Father. And there is also God the Son, whose name is Yahweh-Shua. Or, if you shorten that up, it's Yahshua. So, that's the name of God. Let's see. Isaiah 52:6 says that his people shall know his name. That's the shortest way to say it. But we are to know the name of God. We're told to. Now, God has titles, and he's often called titles with his prefix L, like Almighty God, Living God, Merciful God, Faithful God, Elohim. That's very popular in the Bible. But there's also Jehovah, and Jehovah is translated Lord in our Bibles over and over again. So we have, like I said, the Father, Yahweh, and the Son, Yahweh-Shua. So it does say that we are to know the name of God. Philippians 2:9 and 2:10 is about the name of God, which is above every name. So it does us good to know the name of God. That is good. That is what we want to do. And also recognize that there is principalities and powers and might and dominion. And that is a present, past, and future. It is embodied in the name of God. And that is a part of knowing God's name, is that we each get to understand our relationship with God. God Yahweh. Yahweh-Shua. And so often we have to seek out this information. It's all in the Bible, but we ought to really seek it out and make sure that we are understanding it as right as it can be. And that's what we do when we study. We study the Bible. We verify what we understand. We understand God's word better and better the more we read it and the more we study it. Words have meaning, and the words of the Bible are important in what they say. You know, we all have a relationship with people, and sometimes we give promises, and sometimes we make vows. We make a vow to, well, sometimes to God. Certainly to our marriage, and sometimes in a contract. And all those promises are enforced by law. And that is something that we have to be aware of, that there is the Word of God, and that is God's law also. So let us try to understand things as best as we can with grammar, and with context, so that when we pray and address God, we can do it as correctly as we know how. And that's a part of knowing the correct names of God. It makes a difference. And sure, it may not make the difference, but it just helps us along the way in our walk. It's just like we wouldn't address a police officer by saying, "Hey, buddy," and we wouldn't address a judge by saying, "Hey, dude." No, we want to use the proper form of address. And it's been taught to us that God is the proper form, but it is also told that we ought to know the name of God. And so Yahweh and Yahweshua or Yahshua. Pay attention to all those things in the Bible. That's what we want to do. The Bible is a good book. Read that good book. And we desire to faithfully follow it. And we remember that God is an awesome God who loves us and who wants us to love him back with great love and great respect. So that's a part of reading the Bible and knowing the Word and even knowing the name of God. So I want to thank you for listening to Christ Today, and remember that you can listen again to any of the past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase, no spaces, or a different website will come up, and then you can listen to Christ Today. You can also get my preparedness pamphlet. It's free, and if you send me a stamp, self-addressed envelope, I'll get that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It would be great if you put a stamped self-addressed envelope in there, and that would be just great. Thank you for your prayers and your donations, and both are appreciated. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.